You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Let's just pray for Joe before he gets into the Word. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for the heart of this man. Lord, we pray that you would speak through him this morning. Lord, that that your Word would go out through him. And Lord, that we just pray that we would be blessed and we would be challenged. And Lord, that above all, you would be glorified. Amen.
Amen. Am I on? Hello. I've been introduced. You know me now. Merry Christmas, or merry couple days after Christmas. We had a great Christmas. Family came in. My aunt came in. Very unexpected, but very, very good time. She was blessed. And it was good to celebrate the birth of Christ with them. Looking forward to a new year coming up in 2014 in 2 days. About 12 years ago, I wanted to read the Bible all the way through. Maybe it was 10 years ago, and I'd already done it, I think, once. So what did I what to do, right? I wanted something fresh, and so what I did is I asked this buddy of mine that I didn't know that well, John Mafucci, if he'd like to read it with me. And he said, yeah, let's do that. Let's read it. So we got together, and we started, and we had this very healthy, it became like a competition, reading through, and yeah, with me, nothing's ever a competition, but no, it was so unexpected because I didn't know John that well, and I didn't know what to expect in reading the Bible with him. But as we went through, the Word, of course, was being delivered to us, and our friendship, the bridge was here with our friendship, and by the end of the year, the bridge was here that we shared in this reading together, this healthy competition, and calling up, I'm on this chapter, and oh, you're on that chapter, and oh, you're ahead of me, so I'm going to read four chapters this day, and it was just great. So why am I saying that? I'm saying that to encourage you, everybody here, to get into a Bible reading program this year in 2014. Luke chapter 11 says this is our daily bread, right? It's not bread as in the bread that we're going to eat, so to speak. It's bread and nourishment of the Spirit of the Word for our lives, and we need that. And we have to fight for that in this busy, busy culture. You can read the Bible in 5 minutes, in 5 days a week. 5 days a week and 5 minutes a day you can read the Bible through. There's a program right back there. So just encourage you to try to do that, fight for that for your life. And that's it. So this is the last Sunday in 2013. This is the last Sunday. And what has our theme been? Loving others and doing good to all. So in 2 days, that ends. And we move on. What that has done for us is it has planted and built, if we've been doing that, which we have been loving others in this church, it's built relationships where now what we can do is be witnesses for Christ and be bolder and maybe invite these people to church that we've been loving and caring for, or speak about Christ to these people that we've been loving and caring for. And also, I don't know why today it being the last preach of 2013. For me, it means something. I'm not sure quite what it means. Maybe that'll come out in my preach today. I'm going to be preaching on Acts chapter 6. We've gone through Acts 1 through 5. And Steve and Terry, the last two preaches have been on peace, the peace of God. Steve preached on that he is our peace, and Terry preached on peace in a very literal way. Remember her father, her daughter fell down and cracked her head open, and she needed peace then. So today we're getting back to Acts, and what I want to do is a review starting in Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to do a very quick summary of what's happened in the first five books. And if you just, I love stories, and I love telling stories. And today, I believe God is saying, allow yourself to engage in the story. Allow yourself to understand that 2,000 years ago, these guys, these apostles that I'm going to read about today, were forming the church, and they needed the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to do that. And here we are in Placerville, it's 7,384 miles from Jerusalem, almost as the crow flies, with an ocean in between. Really, listen. and we're talking about the gospel. Here we are. That you cannot deny that. We just cannot deny that. And it's, to me, it's very exciting. So as you hear the story today, watch how this band of uneducated fishermen, full of the Holy Spirit, who through suffering and in the face of death, take every opportunity to tell of their crucified and risen Lord. All right, take a deep breath. Here we go. Luke chapter 24. This is Jesus right before the ascension. These are the last words that he said to the apostles. He said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." Those are the last words he said. There were a couple more. And then what does he do? He ascends. And the disciples, can you imagine? Me right here, preach the gospel, and I just ascend through the ceiling. You're going to be like, ah! And they were. They were amazed, and they were rejoicing in the Father. In Acts chapter 1, we're reminded of the promise of the Holy Spirit. God speaking through Luke, this is verse 4, he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now, John baptized with water, right? The Jordan River's there, the current's there. We can see that, right? But you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if they quite got it yet, what was going to happen in Acts chapter 2. They're probably like, yeah, all right, John baptized with water. We're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But what did that really mean? I don't think they quite understood the significance of that yet. They're reminded also in Acts chapter 1 that they would receive power, from the Holy Spirit. And they were reminded that they will be his witnesses. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That is a commandment. It's a non-negotiable. And they did a good job, because like I said, here we are in Placerville over 2,000 years later, proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2. I'm gonna speed it up just a little bit. This is the day of Pentecost. So they're all together right in one place, hanging out, and this mighty rushing wind fills the entire house. Mighty rushing wind. Stick your head out the car going 75. Seriously. Mighty rushing wind. That's what's going on. That's the experience, right? Then these divided tongues of fire appear on them and rested on each one of them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Mighty rushing wind. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And God is no different today than he was 2,000 years ago. What would happen here today? Mighty rushing wind. How would we respond? It'd be awesome, but we would be like, right? It's just, they were amazed and astonished. A multitude, a great number. They heard this mighty rushing wind, so they all came. And they're amazed and astonished. These guys are speaking, the apostles are speaking in their languages, and they know that they're not from their land. And how can this happen? Power of God. Opening the church, right? So what does Peter do? He's full of the Holy Spirit. Preaches the first gospel message. This is Peter, uneducated, fisherman, impetuous. He's obnoxious. If you read about him, these are like his qualities. So opinionated, he's like the mouth of thunder, Peter. And he denied Christ 3 times. This is point number one. The unconditional love of Christ is always about the restoration of our brokenness and the forgiveness of our sins. Sorry, but it's truth. He used Peter, who blew it constantly, to preach the first message of hope. Point number two, there is no human condition that Christ cannot restore. None. All right, moving to 2, Acts chapter 2. No, we're continuing Acts chapter 2. We're still there. When Peter finished preaching, the people, the multitude, were cut to the heart. That means that their heart was touched. And they asked, what should we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They did. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 were added. From no church to mega church. One preach. I mean, it's absolutely, it's God. It's God. Then we still, there's the fellowship of believers where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. Still adding. 3,000 still adding. Point number 3, the formula for adding to God's kingdom is devotion. The teaching of the word, which what you're getting right now, teaching of the word. Fellowship, which is community, small groups, hanging out together. Communion, remembering Christ, which we do here every service. And prayer. Pray. Be a people of prayer. Be a people of prayer. Trust God. Believe on God. Hope on God. Pray. Request. Ask. Plead. Hope. Acts chapter 3. We're moving now to that chapter. This is the lame beggar, remember? This guy's lame from birth. Peter and John, they're in team. They're walking in the temple. They see this guy. He's expecting some alms, some money. And they say, no, we're not going to give him. They said, look at us. He looks at them expecting. He says, we don't have gold or silver. What we do have, we'll give you. Stand up and walk. And he stood up and he walked. And this amazed the entire group of people that were there going to the temple, because this guy had never walked since birth. So what does Peter do with all these people that are filled with wonder and amazement? This guy's walking around and jumping. Peter, again, full of the Holy Spirit, preaches a gospel message to the group of people. Acts chapter 4. I know we're moving quick through these. I don't think there's ever been an elder here that's taught in like 5 chapters at once. So Acts chapter 4, review. Peter and John are brought before the council and they're arrested. Here's the persecution. The priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed. Why? Because they were proclaiming Christ and the resurrection from the dead. It's greatly annoyed them. They didn't care about the guy that had just been healed that they knew about. He's jumping for joy and all these people. Don't preach Christ. It makes us look bad. Don't do that. But it was too late, because now the multitudes had grown to 5,000. This is after they'd arrested them. So what does Peter do, and John? Again, full of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of Holy Spirit. And there should be. They confront the council with great boldness. Peter and John answered the threats. Shall we listen to you or God? The council couldn't answer that. So they threatened them and they let them go. And because they let them go because everybody was praising God. And what are they going to do with these people out there that they want to acknowledge them when they're praising the miraculous? They can't do anything about that. They're stuck. So after they release Peter and John and with the believers now, what do? They pray for great boldness. You see the sequence? They were just arrested. They were bold. They want more boldness because they know they're going to need it. And after they had prayed for boldness, the building was shaken. Home groups, pray for boldness. Pray. I would love a home group report. Guess what? Our building shook. The Holy Spirit was there. He's here. Why not? Why not expect that? Why not expect that as a people today? I mean, God works in the just as powerful in the building shaking kind of way, in that subtle, quiet, Lord, I give you my heart way. It's all the same. But it would be fun to hear that. I would love that. And again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Also in chapter 4, they had everything in common. And that's, God just put the Spirit. People were selling their lands and bringing their gifts. And there was no need among anybody. And it was all to glorify God. Just amazing. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 2 used to be my favorite chapter until I studied this. And now Acts chapter 5 is my favorite chapter. Because Acts chapter 2, that's the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, the infilling, all that stuff, the big preach, 3,000. And Acts chapter 5 is now by far my favorite. Many signs and wonders were regularly done among the believers. Believers were added to the Lord. Multitudes. It's still growing. This church is still growing. Signs and wonders. And multitudes. Of both men and women. So what happens? The Pharisees and the Sadducees and, you know, just the temple guys, the priests. They don't like it. They don't like all this growth. So they arrest the apostles and they put them in a public prison. Now, I didn't study what a prison was like. It could be like that back there, but I think it's fairly secure or very secure. And during the night, the angel of the Lord comes, opens the door. You guys go out and go do what? Preach. Go to the temple and preach. So the next day, the Pharisees say, hey, go get these guys. Report comes back. They're not there. And the Pharisees are perplexed. Like, really? I'd be perplexed too. You know they're in jail. They're not there. The guards are there. The doors are locked. They're not there. I'd be perplexed. Then they were told moments later that, hey, these guys that you put in jail that you're perplexed about, they're preaching in the temple again. So now I think their perplexity is going to annoyance. So they were, no, really? This is what happened. So they were brought back to the council and reminded, strictly forbidden. You are strictly forbidden not to teach in the name of Jesus. Don't do that, or we're going to beat you. So what does Peter do? There's Peter again, full of the Holy Spirit. He boldly answers, Must we obey God rather than men? Peter reminds the council that they killed Jesus. That's bold, by hanging him on a tree. That's bold. So now they went from being perplexed to annoyed, and now they are absolutely, they're enraged. It just progressed. So when the council heard this, their annoyance turned to rage. That's me right then and there. And they wanted to kill him right there. But one of the Pharisees that was with them, he was Gamaliel, he said, no, don't kill them. Remember, if this thing's of men, if everything that's happening out there, right, thousands are rejoicing, signs and wonders. If that's of men, then it's going to die. But if it's of God, we can't do anything about it. And they listened to him. They let him go. After they beat them, flogged them. So what happened after they were beaten and flogged? They praise God. Thank you for the suffering. Thank you for being beaten in your name, Christ. It's awesome. There's a freedom in that that is inexplainable. You cannot explain that because it's real. And it can't be taken from you. It's a freedom and a joy that cannot be taken from you by anything. And that's a gift to us. And they continued preaching every day. All right, so just now I'm going to do a very, 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 very quick summary. We just went through 6 chapters. Summary of 1 through 5, Acts 1 through 5, Holy Spirit, power, unity, growth, persecution, and they got boldness, and they preached. And that brings us to Acts chapter 6. Okay, so I'm just going to read, and we'll just continue. Isn't that awesome? It's just a great story. The church, these guys were uneducated. And they were figuring it out only with the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't let title
get in your way. Don't let anything get in your way. If you are a believer, if you've given your life to Christ, that same power, the Holy Spirit, is inside of you. It doesn't matter what you are. God wants to use you. And nobody is any more special in God's sight, because He created everybody in His image, so says the Word. You know, being in front preaching, this might thing sound or look like it's like the thing, but it isn't. It's good. It's necessary. But being out on the street and seeing somebody and walking up and sharing a story or praying for them is just as significant. Believing for your loved ones. Having hope and spreading that joy. All right, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, increase, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So in one verse, we see the growth, right? We went from 3,000, then 2,000 more, then multitudes after that, then day by day, the church is growing. And then we also see Satan come in a different way. The persecution from the religious leaders, that was obvious and evident, and it's still Satan not wanting the church to grow, but these guys were in rule, their authority, that was expected maybe. But this kind of a complaint, this is the stuff the enemy will come in. It's subtle, it festers, and then ultimately, if it's not dealt with, it will divide a church. So we see Satan trying to disrupt the growth, the momentum of the church, the unity of the church. And how? Sowing a spirit of murmuring, it's complaint, envy, right? You complain, oh, they have that, and I'm envious. And then should we trust them? Hoping to set believer against believer. Now, to explain what's going on, there's the Hellenistic Jews were they're Greek-speaking Jews, and they migrated back to Jerusalem over the centuries, and they're mainly women, right? Then you have the locals that spoke Aramaic, and they had stayed in Jerusalem, and there's just this different in the language culture created this rift. And so the Greek-speaking Jews, the Hellenists, I guess they didn't get their bread or as much bread or whatever it was. I don't know what the details were. But it's just that. Those Hebrews over there, the locals, they're getting more than us. And the church is trying to grow. And things are happening. A fledgling, growing church becoming divided over bread. You know, it happens. There's churches in my study, there's churches that have been divided over the paint on the wall. There's churches that have been divided, literally, and it's our human condition. It's our human condition. It's our pride. It's, if we're honest, that's what it is. And then it's the enemy, it's us allowing the enemy to get in there and use that pride to work out his devices and his means. I read a story of a church, a huge church, that split, and they went to court, and they had property, and they had to do all this stuff. And then we got down to the very bitter root of why this, what caused this thing to happen? The seed? It was at a dinner where an elder was there, and the boy, that I don't know if he's part of the house or not, but he got more meat than the elder did. And the elder was offended, and this church split. You know, it's just... But we have to understand it's the enemy that's underneath that. And he's relentless. And we need to be wise. Ephesians chapter 6, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Look around. My fight is not against Kenny, ever. Kenny's flesh and blood, right? My fight's not against my wife, ever. Ever. Do I respond inappropriately? Yep. But listen. When we grab hold of this verse, that our fight is not against flesh and bone, flesh and blood enemies, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places, that's our fight, and it's on. It's on until we die and we're with Christ. He wants to rip us off. What's in me, what comes out of me, if I lash out or if I feel justified in saying, well, you, that stuff was already in me. It did not have to come out of me. I let it come out of me. Oh, no, you caused that to come out of me. No, it doesn't work that way. No, it's because you said that I said this. It's not how it works. I know we struggle with that, but there's such freedom. And can you imagine, right? Just Proverbs, we just close our lips and we walk away and nothing comes out. And we work it out with God. And we remember this verse. And we move on. 1 Peter 5:8-9, be self-controlled and alert. The disciples were this at this time. We're going to get there. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Point number 5, the enemy hates anything that grows in God. He hates the church when it grows, your marriage when it grows, your kids when it grows, and you when you grow. What are his devices? A critical glance, forgotten name. It's on forever. An imagined offense. I know that's happened to me. I've been offended, and there was never an offense there or an intent, but I just kind of imagined it, and I know I've done that. It's like, and that cookies, that's silly, but you get the point, right? We need to guard. So how do the disciples respond? This is a big deal. They knew the church, the corporate, their togetherness, their unit, it was at risk. This little murmuring and complaining. It was a big deal. They, being spirit-filled, they perceived the situation was serious. And what was very cool is they did not judge or blame either side. They went right to God. It's like, Lord, how? How do we fix this? And of course, God, it's absolutely amazing what they did when you think about it. It was of the Holy Spirit. It rejected the enemy's attack and it enhanced the apostolic ministry and the growth of the church. So what did they do? We picked that up in Acts 6, chapter 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples, so the 12 were together, and they gather everybody. So there's this unity. And said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God. They knew their calling. They had to preach and teach. They couldn't deal with bread issues. In order to wait on tables, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom. So they release some authority to the brothers. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group. Why did it please the whole group? It allowed the disciples to continue preaching. It laid out qualifications and the delegation of responsibility, that the inclusion of the young church to be part of the solution restored and promoted unity. It was just awesome. Do you see that? And the 7 guys that were chosen, they were all the people that were complaining, they're all Greek-speaking Jews. I thought that was interesting. Qualifications, men that were believers. So somebody out there had just been saved. men of impeccable character, meaning they're dependent on God for everything. Men that were spirit-filled, men full of wisdom. That introduces to the church the diaconate, the deacons. Those guys are the first deacons set in the church. And what did they do? Basically, when you break it down, they loved and cared for the people as the church grew. That was their job. They knew how to take truth and apply it to practical situations. They made sure that there was a sense of belonging and that people were in community. And that's what the deacons do. And we have a lot of deacons here. I kind of did the math, but I don't think I'm going to share it. You know, if somebody wants to come in and take this church out, they're not going to get me or Steve or the elders. They're going right to the deacons. Because every deacon here, typically, and there's home groups that are led by people that aren't deacons, but there's a small group associated, and there's love, and there's caring, and there's the kind of the multitudes. And when they're all gone, that fractures the church. The elders, I mean, yeah, we're important, but do you see what I'm saying? The loving and caring for people is vital, absolutely vital. Basically, if you break it down, in our church, there's about 9 people per leader in this church. That's pretty good. That is a very intimate home group, 9 people, where you can really get to know each other, and you can be real, and you can say things you wouldn't say in maybe a larger group. It's very healthy. It's very healthy. Okay, to finish up, Acts 6, verses 6 through 7, they set, these are the deacons that they set before the apostles. They prayed and laid their hands on them. And we do that here. If you've been a part of Westside, whenever anybody's brought on to the diaconate, they're brought up forward. We pray for them. We lay our hands on them. We welcome them into the body. Well, they're already part of the body. And the word of God, verse 7, continued to increase. And the numbers of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. That is awesome, of the priests. So that's my preach. So what is the takeaway? The takeaway is this, that you will be my witnesses, so says the Lord. And I want to just, how? You will be my witnesses. It's a non-optional. So how? There's many ways to witness for Christ. For me, and I'm going to ask Jenna to come up here, please. Just have to stand. No, right here. Right there. And then I'm going to ask Mike and Patty to come up. You will be my witnesses. Okay, you can just like stand there and like, please. Okay. So, before I was a believer, this 14-year-old at the time came into my life as a babysitter for my daughter. She's not here, she's sick. I wish she was here. And I was not a believer. And this 14-year-old came into my house after I was interviewed by her mother for my qualifications on allowing her to babysit my kid. It's like, yeah, like, I kind of like this. She's interviewing me so that she can babysit my kid. That's never. So into my house comes a Bible. And into my house comes worship music. There were no words spoken from Jenna yet. Into my house comes a...
You can do it.
Into my house comes unconditional love for my daughter. Into my house comes a respect for parents. And over the months, that spoke to me. Then the invite. Hey, come to Westside. Because we talked about going to a church. Okay. We'll go. So we went. Then I had to come to Westside for a bit. Very uncomfortable. We go to a home group. And Mike and Patty, they open up their home. They're deacons. I didn't want to go to home group. But I went. I spilled a full cup of coffee on their couch. I did.
I did. I will never forget the position I was in, the sunlight. And they're saying, oh, it's okay. And like, I know it's okay, but I felt terrible. But anyway, and I felt loved and appreciated. We played Bible games, and my walk continued. Okay, you can sit down now. Then, after that, I asked Steve. I've taken some steps. I went to the New Believers class, and we were getting ready to be baptized, my wife and I, and I still wasn't quite there. So I said, Steve, what? Give me a proof, right? So here, Joe, dunk. He gives me this. And this is the truth. I opened this up, and it took me. No, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. Maybe less than 3 or 4 minutes to this prayer. So I'm gonna read it. All right. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Forgive me and cleanse me. Right this moment, I trust you as Savior. And Lord, make me the type of person you created me to be. That was the gospel. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. You guys can come up. Lord, thank you for this word. Father, I pray. Lord, I pray that we understand that it's not complicated. I pray, Lord, that we understand that we need the power and presence of your Spirit to minister your word, Lord. I pray for grace and mercy, that we'd have forgiveness in our hearts, Lord. Give us discernment, Father. Father, I pray that we just keep it simple, that we know that you do the growing, Lord. And all we do is sow the seed. In your name, amen.
Thanks, Joe. That was great. We're gonna end in worship. So if you could, if we can stand up, if you can, we're going to have one last song. That's an amazing testimony. Thanks for sharing that, Joe. It's a great reminder to us during this time that this is a really incredible time for us to be a witness in the places that we're in. This is actually, it's interesting, it's a time of peace, but so many people are in turmoil, and we can be at peace, and we can, I mean, just what Jenna did was just to be herself. And just to wear her faith and not do it in a push it in your face way, but just to be genuine. I mean, she genuinely respected her parents and she genuinely loved that family. And she genuinely just let what God had sown into her heart for her, you know, the joy, the peace, just her personality was the light that Jesus had on her. And that's, I mean, sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves. Be yourself. Be what God has made you to be. Show those things that he has brought you through. Because he's brought us through so many things, and he's taught us things. And just wear those on yourself around people, and they will see that we're different. Because we are so different than the world in those little ways, those kind ways, those noticing things about people ways that really make a huge difference. And so, you know, if you're in a position where you need to pray that prayer, you know, this is the opportunity to do it. And just to say, God, I'm sorry. You know, I want to be different. I want to know you, and I want you to make me into that person that I was designed to be. You can do it right now, and it will forever change your life, just like it forever changed Joe's life. And I just want to, during this time, we're gonna have communion. And so if you're a believer or if you're a new believer, please participate in communion. Let's just remember the entire purpose of this time of year, which is to celebrate Jesus' sacrifice for us, that he gave everything so that we could have everything that he deserved and not what we deserved. And we have our baskets for giving as well in the front and in the back if you're a part of the family here. And let's worship him, and let's just remember that as we go out this year that we are his witnesses, and it's not hard. It's just, let's just be who God is calling us to be. And just say yes to him, and the people around you will see your yes, and it will encourage them.